I wish massive success for you. I want you to improve your business as well as your life, and I really hope this podcast is helping you to do that. But if you're like me, sometimes you look at the big picture, you look at the annual goal, the yearly goal, and you get discouraged. You might even get depressed. And you say to yourself, how am I ever going to reach my goals? What's the point? How will I ever be able to sell my tile installation for a profit when there's so many hacks everywhere? There's so many that are undercutting each other at cutthroat prices. If this describes you right now, you know, don't feel alone. A lot of us feel like that. I feel like that at times. I have some advice for you. Focus on making just 1% improvement a day. Can you improve 1% tomorrow on the thing you're working on today? This concept goes back to that episode I recorded and then released here January 15th of this year with Steve Roche. You know, Steve said that smart, small goals plus consistency plus time will equal a radical difference. So I urge you just to focus on improving 1% a day. The compound effect of that 1% over the course of a year will mean and will equal that you are now 37 times better at the thing that you're working on than when you started. So in just 1 year, 1% adds up and it compounds and you'll be 37 times better. Hello, tile friends. Welcome back to another episode of Tile Money. This is the podcast where we discuss the business of being a tile contractor. My name is Luke Miller, and I am on a mission to help tile contractors everywhere to grow profitable, sustainable businesses. I started this podcast in my Facebook group, Tile Money, with the good intention of helping fellow tile contractors because I got sick of seeing so many of my peers and really the people that I looked up to were not making a profitable living. I feel like I've been blessed to already have helped so many of you and to made this happen. But you know what? I'm just getting started. I'm continuing to work on things that will help you. And thank you for letting me know that this podcast is helping you. Thank you for being part of the conversation inside our Facebook group. Thank you for telling me what you're struggling with. Together, we are stronger. See, this is about us. This is not about me or you. You're not alone. We're together. We're working on your business together. And thanks to your support and you voicing, you know, your opinions and you voicing that it's helping, I've been able to attract some great sponsors who share my values and who want to help me on my mission to help you. So today's episode is sponsored by Crossville. Crossville is America's leading tile manufacturer and provider of tile. And a lot of their tile that they make, they do it right here in the United States. It's one of the things that I love about this family company. You know, I can appreciate their values. So they're also focused, you know, part of their energies, a lot of their energies is focused on leading the way and manufacturing gauged porcelain tile panels. The very large panels, you know, 5x10 or whatever. They're donating on top of that, on top of just manufacturing, they're donating their time and energy to come up with industry standards, best practices when you're installing these things. And if you're looking for a tile manufacturer to partner with, somebody who consistently produces high quality tile that makes your job easier, you know, I highly suggest you check out Crossville products if you haven't already. If you're interested in learning more about this gauged porcelain tile panels, GPTP, go back a couple weeks ago, I interviewed Noah Chitty and the episode name was The Value of Partnership. So if you haven't listened to that one, I recommend you check it out. Noah gives us some great tips, some great advice and insight into the future and what's going on right now with the GPTP. So check that out. All right, so in today's episode, we're actually on part 2 of 3 with Michael Stone, who is the author of that book, Markup and Profit for Contractors. If you didn't hear the first episode, go back to last week's episode. We had a great conversation on how to continually work up profitable estimates, how to do this, and how to sell yourself as well. He's got some great points on that. He also wrote a sales book, you know, so lots of valuable information. So in last week's interview, you know, we focused mainly on the writing up of estimates, excuse me. And this week's, you know, episode, we're going to continue to talk about that, but also tips on how to sell your work, how to sell yourself. you know, because Michael has been coaching clients for years and years. So I asked Michael what advice he could give you on selling yourself, selling your work, and maintaining a profit. And here's what he had to say.
First thing on sales is this. You have to establish trust from the customer in you. And the way you do that, and this is where probably 80 to 90% of all the people listening to this class have fallen down. They don't return their phone calls. Mm-hmm. They don't return the phone calls the same day or by 9 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah.
That's number one. If you want to establish trust with your customers, you must return your phone calls. That's not an option. That's a must. Yeah. Okay. See, if I call you and you don't call me back for 3 days, why in the hell should I do business with you? I can't trust you. You don't return your phone calls.
Yeah.
If you don't return your phone calls before I sign a contract with you, do you think I'm dumb enough to believe you're going to return your phone calls afterwards? Ha, hold your breath, pilgrim. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the way the customers today look at it. Look at the internet. Go on there and the customer complaints.
Yeah.
It's all about, in most cases, most of the complaints, he doesn't return his phone calls. Okay. Second one is showing up for your appointments and on time.
Yeah.
You know, 10 minutes late, you're late. 1 minute late, you're late.
Yeah.
You set an appointment for 1 o'clock, 12:59, I'm ready to push the doorbell. I'm there. Okay.
Yeah.
That is the first step in building trust with your customers. Okay. So if you return your phone calls, show up on time. When you get there, there's four basic questions we talk about in our profitable sales book. And that is, you know, what would you like to do? When would you like to do it? What's your criteria for picking your contractor? And let's set the budget for your job. Mm-hmm. And if the people watching are people in the tile industry would take the time to learn those steps and why they're important, you will easily get your sales ratio to 1 out of 3 calls you go on with your full markup, whatever it happens to be, and you end up making your 8% net profit on your jobs. And this isn't just something I pulled out of the air. We have literally hundreds of companies just in the last couple of years that we've helped that are doing this and doing it well. If you go back to when I first started conveying this message back to 1980 is when I started doing seminars, take a look, that's 40 years. And we've got literally thousands of contractors we've helped. But they've got to make the adjustment up here first. If they don't do that, then no amount of whatever to the customer, it doesn't connect with the customers.
Right.
The other thing you got to do is forget talking about quality. That's another thing I hear contracts. Well, we have such great quality. Okay, tell me what, pal. Define quality for me. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I dare you. Just define quality. Okay. I've never had anybody able to do that. Well, we do this and we do that. And that's what you do, but that doesn't define quality. There is no definition of quality in construction. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the mistakes that contractors make when they start talking about what we can do for you. Okay. Focus on the things that are important to your customer. We return our phone calls. We return them on time. We show up for appointments. We're here at 8 o'clock in the morning, ready to go to work. We don't come shuffling in here at 9:30 or 10 o'clock or whenever we get done for the coffee shop or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we're ready to work. Okay. The customer today wants you in and out of their house as quickly as possible. We want to get back to normal, get the hell out of here and leave us alone. We want to run around the house with no clothes on. We can't do that while you guys are here working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that you got to get tuned into what the customers want. If you're going to work in their home, they want floor coverings down so you don't leave a mess. Now, this may come as a shock to some of your people, but tile work can get real messy.
Yeah. Yeah,
sure. You know, sand and grit and grout and everything else on the floors. And, you know, when you're running a saw, you're going to have chips and stuff flying around. You're going to have dust in the air. That's the kind of stuff when you're talking about quality. And we do all of our cutting outside and we have an enclosure we set up around the saw. So we keep all the stuff in one spot. When we're done, we'll take a garden hose and wash everything down.
Yeah.
Okay. When we leave here, it's going to be just like when we got here, but you'll have a nice new tile shower stall.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I love it.
So did you notice it all starts in your head? You know, I want you to really be careful not to impose your beliefs onto your customer. See, don't say dangerous things like, I can't sell tile installation for that amount in my area. It just won't happen. Don't say that. Why are you continuing to say that? If you, you know, want to sell something at a higher price, give people what they really want. You know, they're shopping for tile, but what do they really want? What do your clients really want and need? They want a smooth, drama-free experience. They want somebody who will say what they're going to do what they're going to say. See, again, you know, Michael said these four steps, and they're simple, but I want you to not underestimate them. One, establish trust. This can be as easy as returning your phone calls right away. Two, show up to your appointments on time. Again, that's like establishing trust, you know, from the beginning. Three, have questions ready. Interview that potential client. Interview them and listen to them. That's the only way that you're going to know what they want. Four, he talks about not talking about quality. Don't use the word quality so much and think it's going to sell the job. Focus on the customer. What's important to them? Ask them. I love that he said this. When Michael said, don't talk about quality, you know, what he was really getting to there was words are cheap. Everybody can say, and everybody does say, I put up quality work. And that's how they market themselves. So instead of just saying and telling the world that you're the same as the other five contractors, the other two contractors that they're going to interview, you need to show them from the very beginning. The way you show them that you are true quality, and they'll come to that conclusion on their own, is to do those simple things. Return the phone calls. Ask questions and shut up to and listen to them. Listen to them to see what their needs are and also their desires, because we're selling, you know, a desire here. We're selling a premium product. Only then can you craft what you're going to do. You know, you might adjust what you're doing. You should be adjusting what you're doing for each client. And that's how you, you know, really appeal to what they want. So one of Michael's suggested questions that he said you should be asking is, what's your budget? So I wanted him to go deeper on this one because that's kind of a tough question to ask and it doesn't always come off right. So I asked him how we should work up our way to asking this question and why it's important. What is your budget?
Okay, there's a set of steps you got to go through, questions you ask. And again, if I can hold that up there,
yeah,
it's in here, page 79 to 108. I go through the four questions and how and when they should be asked, when to avoid asking certain questions. As an example, here's a mistake I will bet you at least half the contractors watching this class right now are making right now. They start talking about money on the phone before they've even met the customer. Well, how much money do you want to spend on this? They don't know you. They've never met you. They don't trust you. Put it this way. You go buy something, and when you walk into a car dealership, and they walk up, first thing you go, well, how much money do you want to spend? Well, hey, I don't know you from a bale of hay. What do you think I'm going to be dumb enough to tell you a number like that? That's the way your customers look at it.
Yeah.
So you have to work into this thing. You have to develop their trust. And the way you do it, return your phone calls, show up on time, ask what they would like to do. And the more questions you ask, the more trust you build from the customer in you. And once they start trusting you, then you can move on to things like, okay, when would you like to get the job started?
Right.
And if you don't get a start or completion date for your job, if you don't get a budget for your job, you're never going to get a contract. Won't happen. Yeah. Okay, so you go through the process of when would we like to get started and what's your criteria for picking your contractor. Okay, and this in our profitable sales book on page 63 to 69, there's a section in there called the contractor of choice. In other words, you want to become the contractor of choice that they're looking at so that when you come in to see them, what got a lot of guys don't realize is that when the customer calls you out to give them a bid on stuff, right, they're trying to eliminate you and get you out of the picture. They're trying to get to somebody they can do business with. Right. And so if you're not tuned into that and sell yourself, you're not going to get the job. So when you become the contractor of choice, now all of a sudden they're comparing everybody else, the guys that were here yesterday, the day before, the two people they got coming tomorrow, whatever. They're comparing all those people to you, which puts you in the contractor of choice position, which means you now can not only sell the job, but you can add 10, 20, maybe as high as 30% more money than anybody else is charging them and get it virtually every time.
Yeah.
If you do it right, if you follow the steps, just like we've got it laid out, we came up with those series as steps for selling. I started selling in 1969, and I think we had those steps pretty well developed by 1975 at the latest. And we've been using them ever since. And the guys that do use them do very well. Their ratio, sales to leads ratio, is 1 out of 3 to 1 out of 3.5 consistently year in and year out, with a good, healthy markup that covers all of their job costs, covers all their overhead expenses, and gives them a good net profit.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are, you know, we've got 25, 30, 35 years now of doing this stuff and have consistent results every year. So we know this stuff works.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. It's fairly simple, and it almost seems too simple, but it works, you know, and
right, it does. Yeah.
Honestly, like that's all it takes to get above average. And, you know, I heard something the other day, if you want average prices for your work, be average. But if you want above average prices, just be above average, be above the above average contractor, you know, answer that phone.
You want to know how to be above average real quick?
How's that?
Return your phone calls and show up on time for your appointments. That'll put you ahead of 8 out of every 10 people out there.
Yeah. I believe it.
8 out of 10 contractors don't return their phone calls. They don't show up for their appointments on time.
So you can't just ask it. You can't just blurt it right out the gate. It doesn't really work like that. You know, you've got to work your way up to that question. What is your budget? You've got to sell yourself. You've got to become the contractor of choice, Michael said. What does that mean? Well, stand out, be different, be the one that they're comparing everybody else to. Because all of a sudden they're like, well, was he as good as you, right? So 8 out of 10 contractors are not doing those simple things. And they sound so simple. It's almost laughable how simple they are, but that's what's really going to differentiate you. Be unique. Be that 20%. All right, so now we've got some industry news. And this industry news is sponsored by the NTCA. I wanna talk again about, you know, we're in the season for trade show events. You know, when I'm recording this here, it's February. We've just had International Surfaces event, you know, TICE. In Las Vegas, we're ramping up here to have coverings in April, and that's going to be in New Orleans this year. That's a strictly tile and stone event. It's the largest one of its kind where it's just strictly tile. That's a very fun event. Nice city if you've never been. New Orleans, you know, good times to be had for sure. And then later in the year, there's the one that if you've never been to one and you can only go to one, I would say go to TSP or Total Solutions Plus. It's a much smaller event. It's business focused. You're listening to a business podcast. So that's why I'm suggesting that one before any of the others, because it is an investment. You do pay to go to that one, but it's smaller. Everybody there is focused on their business. Everybody there is wanting to help you and wanting to meet you, because there's only like 600 of us and we can all contribute to the conversation and we all network very well together. I just love that event. I went for the first time last October. I'm definitely looking forward to it again. It's gonna be in Southern California. But listen, if you can go to a couple events, you know, hit coverings. If you've never been to one of these events, all I can say is go with purpose, go to network, go to meet certain people that you only maybe see online or have maybe heard about, and introduce yourself and make it your purpose to go up and introduce yourself. Say, hey, I'd love to ask you a few questions. Text me, email somebody else that you look up to or whatever, and say, hey, can I buy you a beer on Wednesday night? You do this early, you know, the closer to the event, it's people are pulled in 12 different ways. And I'm sorry if I didn't get to say hi to all of you at, you know, Las Vegas. But if you wait, that's what's going to happen, is you're going to go there and you might not take away as much as you could, because it is a time, it is an investment of your time and money to get there and so forth. So you might as well make the best out of it. Figure out the 3 or 4 things that you want to accomplish by attending these events. You know, it's at these events that you're going to meet people that are running some of the largest tile installation companies in the United States, in the world even. Is it your goal to meet one of them? Is it your goal to be like one? Because this is virtually the only place you're going to be able to meet them and nurture that relationship and start you know, talking to them weekly. If you hit it off and you get their phone number, that's where you need to be. Is it your goal to be the smallest company, but the most profitable and take the most months off a year? Because at these events, you will meet people like that. You will meet people who have small companies who are just killing it and being very profitable and have a very rich life and experiences. So whatever you want to do, get to these events and meet somebody that you can start imitating. So you find your new five best friends and change your life. All right, so back to the interview with Michael Stone here. I wanted Michael to expand a little bit more on how companies are pricing their work or goods, you know, how different companies do it. There's two different models. But remember, you know, Michael said in last week's episode, you have a choice. Either you can be profitable or competitive. And for the construction industry, there's really only one choice if you want to stay in business, to be profitable. Because there's two different pricing models that Michael talked about, was cost-based pricing or market-based pricing. Check out what he said here.
Market-based pricing is companies that it encompasses just about all companies that are outselling their products or services. And everything is based about profit. Okay. Now, as an we got market-based pricing and we have cost-based pricing. There's only two businesses we know of that are cost-based. Okay, one of them is sit-down restaurants, and the other is construction-related companies like tile companies and remodelers and new home builders. Those are cost-based businesses. Market-based businesses, your profitability is dependent on your entire sales process. So you can cut your prices on, say you have a grocery store and you've got, you know, maybe you've got 2,500 items in that grocery store. And if you want to make a little more profit, you do a, what they call a loss leader sale on one of your items. That's a high selling. Here's one I use in class all the time is Campbell's Behemoth Bacon Soup. The store manager wants to push his profit up a little bit. He has a sale on Campbell's Behemoth Bacon Soup. Okay. They buy that for a dollar from the distributor, and they sell it for $1.20 to $1.40 on whatever shelves. So what they do is they just sell Campbell's Behemoth Bacon Soup, 24 cans for a dollar each. Sale starts Friday and Sunday, and that attracts a whole bunch of people in. You know, they get the Campbell's Behemoth Bacon Soup. But they also get a whole bunch of other stuff. So by the time they get to the checkout counter, their grocery cart is piled high. And with all the other items in their grocery cart that were not marked down, like the Campbell's Behemoth Bacon Soup, with all the other items, you know, their overall profitability from that cart of groceries is up.
They make it.
And that's what the store manager wants. Now, a construction company doesn't have that option. And you know, tile installers do not have that option. Your profitability is based on one job and one job only. It isn't multiple jobs. You can't cut your price on this one. And the customer tells you, well, give me a good price on this one. We'll give you a bunch more work. That's right. Baloney. We right. do one job and one job only. Okay. Yeah. And so but there's a complete in the markup and profit book that we have, we cover that whole scenario, so to speak. So when you're talking the difference between market-based and cost-based pricing, you have to be aware of this, especially when you have customers start talking to you about, well, you got to sharpen your pencil a little bit. That works fine for a market-based company. Okay.
Right. Right.
Automobile dealerships are a market-based company. They can cut their prices on one or two of their cars and advertise that because they know that not everybody's going to buy that car. They're going to go in the lot and pick out something else that's got a little markup on it, and they'll make up the difference that way. We don't have that option in construction. All you've got to sell is that one job dead in front of you.
Yeah.
And if you cut your price on that, and this is one of the reasons that I tell people, you can't ever cut your price. Once you've established your markup, job cost times markup equals sales price. Once that's set, you can't cut your price. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got to remember, if you're dealing with family, it's always times two. All right. That aside, okay. That aside, market-based businesses always have to deal with, you know, you deal, each job stands on its own.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hope that's a reasonably good explanation.
So I hope this drives home the point. I really want to make that point clear that you cannot be cutting your prices, even on one job. If a builder or somebody tells you this lie, and I'm sure you've heard it, give me a discount for this one job and I'm going to give you a year's worth of work, buddy. I'm going to give you 30 more jobs after this one. Just give me a discount on this one. That's a lie. You have to be profitable on every single job. Don't take the easy way out and believe that you can build a company based on one or two builders. What happens if those builders go out of business? And it happens all the time. Then you're out of business. See, I want you to learn how to price your work for profit. I want you to learn how to market yourself so you can have multiple customers, as many as you need. So next, I wanted to ask Michael what he thought about itemizing your estimates. This is something that comes up from time to time in our Facebook group.
All right, here's what we're going to do for you folks. Okay, that sounds good. All right, we're ready to sit down and write an agreement. Now I detail out what we're going to do. It's on the contract. I do not give them any kind of itemization as far as prices go. When you start giving an itemization, it's like taking a handful of bullets and handing them to the people and say, here, shoot me.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they do. It's a handful of bullets to shoot back at you. Mm-hmm. Okay, itemization doesn't work, never has worked. It's been about every 4 or 5 years in this business, we get people come up, magazine editors or some contractor in Florida, some contractor in California. Well, I do itemization. It shows that I'm being honest. I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
I mean, how much BS do you think the world can handle? Okay, you're not hiding anything. It's nobody's business.
Yeah.
Proprietary information is nobody's business, and that includes the prices of things. People used to ask me, well, how much is this? I can tell you where Lowe's or Home Depot is. You go look it up for yourself. If you want me to tell you, it's $150 an hour, minimum 4 hours. And that's the way I used to deal with it. I mean, oh, no, that's okay. We'll take care of it. Good. Okay.
Nip it in the bud, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not here to give you prices. That's not why I'm in business. I'm in business. Provide a service and make a profit doing it. And if you've got ideas for me to do anything else, then please tell me now and I'll just go away quietly and we'll part friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to be real hard-nosed.
Yeah.
Here's the best way to look at this. You want a friend? Go buy a dog.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. You want a friend? Go buy a dog.
Yeah.
We're in business to make money. If you're not in business to make money, why are you in business? Most of the guys watching this class have got a family to take care of, but the family always seems to end up way down on the list of priorities.
Yeah.
Family is one. Family is one. Okay. Customer is after that. Yeah. Family's first, then your business, and then your employees, and then the customer. Yeah. It has to be in that order. Because if you don't, you're going to make dumb decisions like cutting your price because you think your price is too high, or somebody else comes along, and gives you a cheaper price, and you've got to match that or beat it.
Yeah.
How much do you think a guy can take?
Yeah.
So I was, for one, really happy that Michael does not recommend itemizing your estimates. He said it only, what did he say? It only gives them ammunition to fire back at you. So you don't need to itemize out every screw head or every piece of board, waterproof, whatever, stud. And the reason is, work up your estimates for profitability and keep your family first. Make sure that you're not spending too much time on these estimates. Make sure that you're not giving your clients, ammunition to throw back at you. All right. So now we've got another Tile Money tip. And this Tile Money tip is sponsored by Latercrete. This is another one of those clips that I'm taking from that business incubator that we held last September, where Ron Nash spent the day with us and he taught us a full day on negotiations. And it was very powerful. Everybody walked away understanding negotiations and more powerful. So in this clip, he is talking about the power that you possess when you're selling something as well as buying something. See, both sides hold power. And he explained to us that the five primary sources of power are number one, time, number two, information, number three, options, number four, differentiation, and number five, experience and expertise. So check out this clip.
And I'm going to show you how you can make time work for you. All right, so let's think about this. What do people like to buy? What's your favorite thing to buy?
Apple.
Apple products? Apple products?
Yeah, it's easiest to say because it's spelled watches and half.
So you're hooked.
For me, I like this, the synchronicity of it. I put it on my phone, it's on my laptop. So.
Yeah, I do as well. I also like to turn things on and just have it work. That's my biggest thing. I like technology to get out of the way. So I can understand.
Not relearning.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody in here that absolutely despises Apple? Because as it turns out, okay, it's very interesting, right? Okay, so that brand, for example, would anybody disagree that Apple's a powerful brand?
First $1 trillion company, they love it
out. I mean, it's powerful. There's no other way to put it. They have more cash in the bank than like most countries have as GDP.
Okay. I love the organic way that this conversation started. You know, it was a group conversation. Ron was able to run with this random topic and teach us about why time is contributing to Apple's power. Check out what he said here.
Remember the iPod, right? And for the first time, you could have two of your worlds collide into one device, right? And remember all that music you stole in college? Come on, you dirty monkeys. I know you did it. I know you did it.
Not all
of us, they're all right, well, I did it back in my day. You know, when I was in college, I stole a hell of a lot of music, terabytes. It was. We didn't consider it stealing, we considered it sharing. And LimeWire, Napster, all that stuff, I did all of it. And I repented since. I've seen a priest, we're good. But I had a bunch of music, right? So what did they do to me? I bought the iPhone. None of that stuff could go on it. Because remember, one of the brilliant things that they did.
Verify purchasing sort of
deal. Right, so they made me verify my purchase. Do you know how many good songs I had to rebuy on that new platform? Until I learned how to hack it. But
yeah, Apple Music, you don't have to pay for every song.
They do now.
Yeah.
But when they first launched it, so think about it. What's happening here? They give you a cool device, a pretty neat device, right? And then they make you invest time with them, right? I got so much music on the Apple Play Store after a while, and I had spent so much time and money acquiring that music.
That
I was hooked,
right.
Exactly. How much am I hooked? I'm going to tell you how much I'm hooked. I have five cell phones that are made by that company right now. And I've replaced probably 15 at minimum since that time with my family. We have five personal computers to date. We have five iPads. I bought a pallet, literally a pallet of iPads when they launched them. Because I gave them to my sales reps. Okay, so but you see what I'm saying? So this time with Apple for me multiplied. Now Microsoft or a competing company, Samsung, whatever, they could come out with something that shot lasers and like did 3D printing, and I'm not gonna buy it. I'm not gonna buy it. Why? Because I have years of teaching my kids how to use the device, teaching my wife how to use the device, learning myself the ins and outs of the device. All that is time, all of it.
So the point Ron is making is that when a customer invests a lot of time or even a little bit of time, along with maybe some financial investment into the product, the company, in this case Apple, they hold more power. And they know this and understand that it would be harder for you to switch phone companies or switch computer companies because you're invested with time, a lot of time. The more time that goes on, the better, right? You've also made some financial investments. Maybe it's apps or music, whatever. Now, how does this relate to tile installation contractors, right? How does this relate to you? Well, I want you to think about that and get back to me. No, but here's one way that I thought of, and I really do hope you can think of other ways. But one way would be, you know, get your potential customers to invest more time with you. You know, a couple things you could do is maybe sell a consultation fee. Well, we're gonna spend 2 hours with you and give you a consultation and a design or a design fee or combination of consultation design. See, then they're invested with time and they've also invested a little bit of money. $100 or whatever goes a long way. So if they don't hire you, they're losing out on time. They're also losing out on that financial investment. So I hope that's given you something to think about. I hope you've benefited and taken away at least one thing from today's episode. Something that you can apply in your business right away. And I really recommend you do that. You know, don't hesitate to start making changes today. Remember, just make 1% change a day. And in time, that really makes a difference. So next week, we're going to revisit this interview and continue the conversation and finish it out with Michael Stone. He's going to talk about markup and margin, or markup first margin, along with some other great topics. Please visit tilemoney.com. To see what I've been working on, you can sign up for my online business training, a little more in-depth and personalized for you. And like always, stay profitable, tile friends.